Before we begin tonight, I was just handed a card that is going to go well with the lesson tonight. So rather than have it Mike read it at the conclusion of the service, I thought I would go ahead and read it now. It just says simply, "Thank you" on the front. And then on the inside it says, "Dear church family, the light of God's love shines through you and your every kindness. Thank you so much for your visits, calls, cards, and prayers during my recent hospital stay and recovery time at home. In Christian love, Harold Hurst." And I know I speak for everybody here when I say I am glad to see you back here. He was not feeling well for quite some time, and just glad to see him on the mend. And I know everybody here is as well. And that is what I wanted to preach about tonight. It goes along with that thank you card, and that is the church, as we continue our series of sermons on the church, created for good works. Remember, a few weeks back we asked the question, the church, what's the point? And we talked about we have been saved to save others. That's the first point of the church. And the second, the next week, we talked about we have been saved to keep the saved safe. That's why we do the things that we do. That's why we have a Bible school curriculum. That's why we have good and godly teachers teaching our young people, teaching the adult classes. That's why we do things the way we do them, is to keep and edify and strengthen the body of Christ here at Charlotte Avenue. Well, this evening we want to continue with it and show the third point for the purpose of the church, and that is we have been created for good works. And if you remember, all throughout we've been given the definition of what the church is. We've talked about some misconceptions of the church. Some people think that the church is the building that makes up the church. Well, we know that that's not the truth. Some people think the church really is only the leadership of the church. So when we sometimes hear things like, well, the church ought to be doing this, or the church ought to be doing that, we're talking about some other group besides ourselves. And that's not the way to think about the church. Some people think the church is just all denominations in the world make up the one church that you read about. Well, we know that's not true because of what we've seen so far. Any church teaching a false doctrine concerning the plan of salvation, well, you know that can't be right, because one of the purposes of the church is to save the lost. And you can't save the lost if you're teaching them the wrong thing to do to be saved. You can't keep the saved safe if, again, you're teaching them the wrong things that the Bible does not teach. You're not going to keep them safe. As a matter of fact, you're going to lead them astray. I want us to notice tonight, thinking about the faults, the misconceptions of the church, and when we think about this third point, the church was created to do good works. Can a building do good works? No. You might be able to have good works inside of a building, but the building can't do that. And if we say that just the leadership makes up the church, then what we're saying is that they are the only ones that have to do the good works. The rest of us can sit here and do nothing. And so we see how those misconceptions, they don't fit the true description of what the church is. So I want you to get your Bibles tonight, because we're going to be looking at all of these passages, and there's several of them. I've got several points tonight, but we won't be spending long on any one of them. I promise you that. But get your Bibles, and I want you to see tonight that if you are a member of the church, if you are a member, specifically since we're preaching to the Charlotte Avenue Church of Christ, if you are a member of this congregation, you have been created, you have been saved, number one, to help save others, number two, to keep the other saved safe, and then number three, you are required by God to do good works. Not just something for the ladies' class to do, not just something for the elders to do, not just something for the preacher or the deacons to do. If you have been saved, if you are a member of the Church of Christ, that you read about in the Bible, then you are expected by God to do good works. But now, not only that, I want to show tonight what good works do for the church and why it's such an important part of the work of the church. And we're going to notice several things tonight. First of all, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Again, these are such simple points, really, but it's so good to be reminded of these things. Galatians chapter 6. Starting with verse 7, and our first point tonight, if you're keeping and taking notes, if we sow good works, we will reap good works. So that's reason number one why we want to do it. If we sow good works, then we're going to reap good works. Galatians 6, starting with verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Watch verse 9. And, that connects it to the previous verses, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Reason number one that we have been required and created is to do good works is if we sow good works, we will also reap good works. Do you think that's true? I mean, I almost said, forget about the Bible for a moment, but don't forget about the Bible. But think about this. I told you what I almost said, then I went ahead and said it. That doesn't make good sense. But think about this. You think about your own experience in life, especially as it relates to the church of which you are a member, the Charlotte Avenue Church of Christ. Let me ask you something. When have you felt the strongest? When have you felt the best about the church here? Is it when there hasn't been a whole lot of activities going on or just a few people do all of the work? Is that when you feel the best about the church? Is that when you feel the strongest spiritually, when you sit and watch everybody else work? Well, we know the answer to that, don't we? No. The strongest we ever feel is when we see a whole congregation doing good. And when I'm a part of that good doing, then I feel stronger than ever. So you see, just by experience, we see that this is the truth. And so we sow good works also to reap good works. It will make you stronger as a Christian. Number two, others will glorify God because of our good works. What a great opportunity. Others will glorify God because of our good works. You don't have to turn there. I'm sure you're probably familiar with this passage. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify you? That's not what it says. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you know that when the Charlotte Avenue Church of Christ does good works, we give others opportunity to glorify God? And you hear it from time to time. We've already heard our Wednesday night speakers. The first two that I got to hear, I don't know Derek Franklin, I didn't get to hear him speak. I do know Derek, but I didn't get to hear him speak. The first two that we did our summer series, how did they each start off their lessons? Talking about how Charlotte Avenue has helped them in their development as Christians. You've given other people, because of your good works, the opportunity to glorify God. And that's how it works. Even people who aren't Christians can see you doing good things, and it makes them want to know God. It makes them want to be closer to God. Number three, you can't get any better than this one. Number three, the reasons we should do good works is this. The Lord is pleased when we do good works. All of us want to make God happy. Look at Colossians 1, verse 10. Colossians 1, 10. If this was the only reason that we could give tonight, we couldn't do any worse than this. Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, watch this, fully pleasing Him, how? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Think about that. When you do good works as a Christian, you make God happy. When you study more, when you grow in your knowledge of the truth, you make God happy. But when you do good to others, think about that. You please Almighty God. How does that make you feel? To do something on this earth that reaches all the way to heaven. That's good, isn't it? What motivation to do good for others so that we can make God happy. That's what I want to do. I know you do as well. I know we all do as members of the church. Number four, Scripture was written to prepare us for good works. The Scripture has been written for one reason, and that is to prepare us for good works. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Again, a passage very familiar to most of us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You have been prepared to do good works. If you have obeyed the Bible, if you have obeyed the gospel, you have been prepared to do good works. You can do good things. And that's what the scripture was written to do. Number five. Here's another one. Titus 2, verse 14. Let's go to the scripture before I give you the point. Titus 2, 14. I told you these are going to be very simple, but very powerful nonetheless. Titus 2, 14, and here's the point I want to make from this passage. Did you know that Jesus died so we would do good works? He died so that we would do good works. Titus 2, 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Then watch the last part. Zealous for what? Potlucks? For good works. Do you know Christ died so that we would do good works? Look at this passage again. He gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. All right, what should we get out of all of this? It should make us zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. The fact that Christ died for you, the fact that Christ died for me, should make all of us so desirous to do good for him and in his name. I know you feel like that too, don't you? You remember the day you obeyed the gospel? Remember the day that you came to the realization that you were flat out lost in your sin? And you realized that if you died in that condition, you would miss heaven and would end up in hell. But you found out through the teaching, most likely of somebody else teaching you the Word of God, that Christ died for you. And that if you submit yourself to Him, obey Him, then there was a way for you to avoid what you deserved through Christ. And then somebody taught you all that went in to what He did. All that Christ did so that you could be saved. In the meeting I just held this past week, and I'll might preach this sermon here, so I won't go too deep into it. But one of the main points of the sermon was just going back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. After sin had entered the world, that passage says something, verse 16, where it says, He, talking about Christ, will bruise your head, Satan. He is going to bruise your head. And now looking back where we are today, we understand what that means. Christ is the winner. Christ is the winner over death. We understand that now. But then the next phrase, yes, he will bruise your head, but then it says, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, if I were to ask any one of you in here, where would you rather me hit you, in the head or in the heel? All of us would say, well, you know what? I don't want you to hit me anywhere, but if you've got to hit me in the heel. I mean, it's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt bad. But it's going to take a lot to kill somebody by hitting them in the heel. Doesn't take a whole lot to kill somebody, I guess, by hitting them in the head. And so, yes, Christ wins. He gives the death blow to the head of Satan. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take the heel of Christ, spiritually speaking, to be bruised. And you think about just that one phrase and all that entails. Go to Isaiah 53. You see him as the suffering servant, all that he went through for us. You go to the cross and you see all that went on surrounding that cross. And when we think about these things, it makes us want to do good in his name. Christ, you tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. This is his purpose behind it. I've died for you so that you can be saved. Now will you go about doing good to other people? Next, number six. Not only will we reap good works if we do good works, not only will we glorify God and allow other people to glorify God, not only is the Lord pleased when we do good works, not only did Jesus die so we would do good works, but number six, we mature by doing good works. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. Hebrews 13, 21. We mature by doing good works. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Make you complete, how? In every good works. We mature by doing good works. Stop again and just ask yourself this question. If you've been a member of the church for very long, I want you to think on how far you've come. Man, do you remember the first time somebody asked you to read scripture in front of an audience or in front of a group of worshipers? Do you remember that? Remember the first time, even just maybe looking back, I'm not making anything simple out of that, but do you remember the first time that you were asked to stand before people and all you had to do, I said, all you got to do is just hand a tray to somebody. We're not even going to make you say a prayer. All you got to do, walk down the aisle, just hand somebody a tray. And when that one comes to you, you take it and you step to the next one and you deliver it to the next aisle. You remember, as simple as that sounds, remember the first time you had to do that in front of other people? It was easy, wasn't it? Some of you are just there right now. That's the only place where you've been so far. Others of you are way beyond that now. But you can still remember that feeling, can't you? My point is this. Think about how far you have come since that first day of shaking with that tray in your hand. Some of you may have been doing it for 20 years and you still shake when you get the tray in your hand. That's completely understandable. But let me tell you something. If you're just now at this stage, aim for more. Try to do more. Try to do greater. Push yourself a little bit. Just see what you can do in the work of the church. And you watch yourself grow in Christ. Watch yourself. It'll amaze you. Those of you who now are doing other things, not going to say bigger and better things because there's nothing better than to serve people the Lord's Supper. But those of you who are doing other things now, did you ever think in a million years that you would stand and lead a prayer in front of other people? Yet you do it. And you feel better each time you do it, don't you? Yeah, it's scary. But watch what you can do. Ladies, if someone were to ask you to teach a ladies' class right now, how would you feel? That would be scary, wouldn't it? I'd even be scared to teach a ladies' class. But push yourself a little bit. Try to do things. Some of you here tonight, maybe you've never taught a children's class. How about starting to learn to do that? Push yourself a little bit. Because you know what that'll do? The more you do, the more work you do in the church, you'll also grow stronger yourself. The more you try to help people, the more you'll be helping yourself. And that's just how it works. And what a great blessing it is. And so you are matured. You grow in maturity as you do good works. Number 7, Hebrews 10:24. Hebrews 10:24. Others are encouraged when you do good works. Others are encouraged to do good works when you do good works. When they see you doing good works, others are encouraged to do so as well. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Stir up love and good works. Motivate other people for love and good works. All right, let's continue the illustration that we just used in the previous point. You and the group of worshipers, how does it make you feel when you see somebody who may be a new Christian stand before the people for the first time doing something as simple as handing a tray to somebody else? What's that do to you? It makes you feel good, doesn't it? That strengthens you, doesn't it? How about the first time somebody leads a public prayer? What's that do for you? Doesn't that encourage you? When you see somebody start teaching a Bible class, what does that do for you? That is so encouraging. Now, let me tell you something. You may never know how much you encourage other people unless they tell you, but I promise you this. When you do good works, you encourage other people. If you're a Christian for 1 week and you do good work, you are encouraging other people. It does not go unnoticed by God especially, but even by us here on the earth. Number 8, told you there's a lot of points. There's a lot to say about good works. Number 8, good works prove our faith. Good works prove our faith. And David James, when he was here, he touched on this point, did a great job with that. Titus 3:8. Titus 3:8. Good works prove our faith. Titus 3:8, and then we're going to go to James 2:18. This is a faithful saying And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And then go to James chapter 2, verse 18. We're going to be studying this, Lord willing, next Sunday in our Bible class. But let's go ahead and get a preview. James 2, 18. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Then watch. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. How do people know that you're a Christian? Do you look different? I mean, do you have something stamped on your head that says, everybody, I'm now a Christian? No. Sometimes you might smile more. But how do people know that you're a Christian? You can tell them, that's one way. But also, they'll notice something different about you by the things that you do, the good works that you do. Ah, that person, there's something different about them. I wonder what it is. Then they might come up and ask you about that. So it proves your faith. Number 9, two more to go. Good works defend our reputation. Good works defend our reputation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Peter 2, 12. Good works defend our reputation. First Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, the worldly people, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Have you ever heard something said about a good Christian person that you knew was not true? No, you never did confirm it with the person who the accusation was made against, but you knew it couldn't be true. And how did you know that? This person would never do something like that. This person would never do something like that. A good friend of mine, someone came and told me that they saw him coming out of a liquor store with a bottle. Well, it looked like it was a bottle because it was in a tall brown bag, and the top of the brown bag was wrapped against the neck of the bottle, so it was a bottle. And they said they saw this man coming out of a liquor store with a bottle, so they knew that he had been drinking. Well, come to find out, they never saw the man, but they saw his car. And it was an unusual car. I mean, really, I can understand some ways how if you saw this car, it'd be the only one that you ever saw. But it wasn't the only one in Muncie. There was another one just like it. And it was not this man at all who was coming out of that liquor store. It was somebody completely. But you know what? Even before I found all that out, I knew it wasn't true. This person wouldn't do that. I know this person wouldn't do that. And so even though somebody was speaking evil against him, I knew it wasn't true. Why? Because of the way he lived. That's what I want to be. How about you? Someone mentions something false against you, people say, it can't be right. I know that person too well. And then number 10, we were created for good works. Let's finish off with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, here it is, for good works. You have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Fellow Christian, you have been created to do good works. That is a third purpose of the church of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as David James again talked about in his lesson, do good works earn us salvation? No. But will you be lost if you do not do good works? Yes. And so they are essential, no doubt about it. They do not earn our salvation, but we must do them. But you know what? Sometimes when we're given a command, and I don't know what it is about us as humans, sometimes we want to balk at commands. But here is a command, hopefully we've shown tonight, that not only does great for the cause of Christ, but it will do wonders for you. Let's repeat the last 10. If we sow good works, we will reap good works. Number 2, others will glorify God because of our good works. Number 3, the Lord is pleased when we do good works. 4, Scripture was written to prepare us for good works. 5, Jesus died so we would do good works. 6, we mature by doing good works. Others are encouraged to do good works. Good works prove our faith. Number 9, good works defend our reputation. And 10, we were created for good works. I hope this lesson tonight has reminded all of us of something we probably already know, but it has reminded us of why we are here. I've heard this phrase so many times, and I know you've heard variations of it as well, that 90% of the world's wealth is in 10% of the population. And then here's another one. This is really what I wanted to go with this, that 90% of the work is done by 10% of the church. Have you ever heard that phrase? And you know, in a lot of congregations, that's probably true. But now let me ask you something here. If it hadn't been for Father's Day, I was really wanting to preach this lesson in the morning and ask this question to end the sermon. If we've seen that we were created for good works, and hopefully we've shown tonight our purpose is to do good works, and if we're not doing good works, then it doesn't speak well about our spiritual condition. So let me ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. If it is true that 90% of the work is done by 10% of the church, and good works is essential for salvation, what's that say about 90% of the church? What do you think? Now, maybe we haven't proved it by what we've studied tonight, but I think we have. We have been created to do good. Jesus died for us so that we would do good. We please God when we do good works. And so if I am part of that 90%, and I don't think that's true here, but what's that say about me? It takes every last member of the church doing what he can to do the work of Christ. Hopefully tonight, if you find that perhaps you've not been doing everything you can, this will motivate you to do everything that you can. Hopefully, if you've seen already, yes, I'm doing good and I feel great about the good that I'm doing, hopefully this will encourage you to keep on doing it. Or maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know what, I'm already doing some things, but maybe I can do more. Hopefully this will encourage you to take that next step. I know it's scary, trust me. I know it's scary. My first sermon, I had about 45 minutes worth of material. It took me about 7 minutes to complete it. I know how scary it is. Hopefully this has motivated us in one way or another tonight. If you've never obeyed the gospel, the first thing that you need to do before you can ever become a member of the church, before you can ever start doing good works as one of God's children, is first of all to obey him. Will you do that tonight? If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess his name and be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away, Acts 22:16, we hope that you'll do that. Upon that point, when you are baptized into Christ, the Lord himself will add you to his church. You will have been created for good works. We hope that you'll do that tonight. Or perhaps you're here tonight and you've not been living as you should. Maybe it's something that's been public and you want to make a public confession. Let us pray with you and for you. We'll ask God to forgive you together as a church. That's what families do. We help each other. So if we can help you in any way tonight, please, won't you come while together we stand and sing.